Good morning, church. So today, graduation Sunday. We're going to treat it as graduation Sunday. I know Abby graduated yesterday. Northmore kids graduate today. Dale graduated already. He's done. Well, that's good. It's not all on the same day for you and Kyle, Dale. First, I want to speak to you parents. You have all done your job. You've seen growth in your young people. You've seen failure in your young people. And you've been there and you've been resilient with what God has asked you to do and raise these young people to this point. So today is about you celebrating as well. Because you're never going to go back to that child that's graduating being in the halls of Mount Gilead or Ontario or Northmore as a student again. And sometimes that's scary. But you need to trust that you have equipped these young people and that God has a plan for their lives. So feel good about what you've done with your young people. And for those of you that still have one at home or two at home or whatever, now you get to focus on them. So Chloe and Brooklyn, I'm sorry. You guys got a lot of expectations on you now at this point. Gabby. To the graduates, we have six young people graduating. Dale graduated from Ontario. Abby graduated from Mount Gilead. And then Owen, Trevor, Kate, and Ryan. I forget her because she's so quiet. All graduate today from Northmore. So, young people, this message is kind of for you, but it's for the whole congregation because you're done, but God isn't. And that led me to, because God laid that on my heart, and I'm like, God, where do you want me to go with that title? And he kept pulling me back into the Gospels, and he kept pulling me back to a guy named Peter. And I said, man, where in the world are you going? But I think we'll get there, and we'll get into this, and I think we'll be able to tie it all nicely together at the end with what God wants us to go, where he wants us to go. So we're going to be in Matthew today a lot. So if you want to go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Matthew, I'm going to start by just telling you some things about Peter that you may or may not have known. Peter is a fisherman by trade. Peter walked on water. Peter talked as much as the other disciples combined. I got my Peter. Morgan is that. Peter is a significant piece, one of the most significant pieces of Jesus' ministry. I would qualify Peter as the eager beaver. Okay, if Jesus ever asked a question, Peter was right there and he was jumping on it. Okay? He may not have always been right, but he was right there. And we're going to find today that Jesus called Peter the rock, signifying his future as leader, as the leader among the apostles and among the church as it exists today. Now, some things you might not know about Peter, and we'll get into those later. Matter of fact, let's get into the first passage. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 4. And it's 18 and 20. And I want to be clear that when Jesus came and he started his ministry here on earth, he really didn't have anybody. Right? He was a young dude at this point. And so Jesus, he comes to these guys and they're out fishing. I'll just start there. Verse 18. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. So here, Peter and young people, this is the willingness that I want you to portray, and because you're going to be faced with many new challenges. You know, you're going to be outside the halls of what's comfortable, and you're going to see new challenges. And I want you to think of Peter when you face those challenges. And this guy did not hesitate. Immediately, they dropped what they were doing to follow Jesus. And that's, you know, we could end the story of Peter right there, but we're not going to. Matthew 14. And we're going to be in 28. 28 through 32. So this is just after Jesus fed the 5,000. And the disciples go on a boat and they cross the sea. And Jesus comes walking to them. And the disciples are terrified at this point because they don't recognize him. But in 27, Jesus immediately spoke to them saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." 28, and Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. Now when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So Peter experiences failure. And graduates, although you may not think at this point, today you're happy, you're graduating, everything, you're on top of the world, you are and you will experience failure. And I think it's important that we understand Peter's first action there when he was experiencing his failure was to reach out to the Lord. It wasn't phone a friend and say, "Hey, I'm going through this." It was reach out to the Lord. And if you can do that in your life, what's going to happen? Jesus is always going to reach down and pick you up and carry you through the situation you're going through. As I've talked before about water and my not fear of water, but it would not be a great way to go. And Peter probably saw his life flash before his eyes right there. He was failing miserably. And all it took was for him to give up and say, "Lord, take me. Help me." And he reached his hand down. So there are going to come times when you feel like you're failing, graduates. Turn it over. Give it to God and let him deal with it. And then Matthew 26. And we'll get a little lighter here in a minute, but this Peter gives us the example of what it means to be bold, what it means to be not afraid to fail, what it means to fail, and then what it is when we turn that over to God, what our failure can look like. So Matthew 26, 69 through 75. This is probably, this is not a great time for the disciples. Jesus was crucified. Jesus was brought in for trial. He was beaten. He was whipped. He was crucified. Well, actually, he was arrested at this point. He wasn't crucified yet. But Peter denies Jesus. Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came up to him and said, "You were also with Jesus of the Galilean. But he denied it before all of them, saying, I do not know what you mean. And when he went out to the entrance, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, this man was with Jesus of Nazareth. And again, he denied it with an oath. I do not know the man. After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, certainly you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you. Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and swear, I do not know the man. And immediately the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. So again, Peter, this is the guy that Jesus has said, I'm going to build the church on you. You're going to lead the rest of the disciples after my departure. He denied Christ three times. Graduates, there is going to be no failure in your life like the failure Peter faced right here. It said he went out and he wept bitterly. He realized how big of a failure he was. So what's that tell us about Peter? Man, it gives me the example to know that God loves me no matter how bad I screw up. Because you are going to screw up. Everyone sitting here today, well, I think, maybe not. Everyone sitting here today has screwed up at some point in their life. You know why it's important to sit here today? Because we're with a bunch of like-minded people that know we're sinners, that know we're going to screw up, that know we're going to fail. But we know because of that, that he loves us anyway. There is no failure too strong that Jesus Christ can't handle. So let's talk just a little more about Peter here, then we'll move on. Despite the boldness that Peter, you know, because in when Jesus was arrested, it says one of the men with him, and I don't know, I've not really dug into that, but after all the accounts of Peter, it says one of the men with him took out his knife and struck the guy's ear off. That just sounds like a Peter move to me. It doesn't name him specifically, at least in my passage, it doesn't name Peter specifically, but that's the guy, kind of dude Peter was. He was the eager beaver. He was like, okay, I'm going to defend you, Lord. I've told you time and time again, I'll defend you. Wax the dude's ear off. Jesus said, whoa, stop. There's no need for that. Pick the guy's ear up off the dirt. I can see Jesus doing this, and Jesus is not worked up. Jesus just bends over, picks up the ear, dusts it off, puts it back on a guy's head. We serve a Savior that is so cool and so collected, he never got worked up. He got emotional, but he never lost his head. Because if that's me being arrested, knowing what I was going to face, I'd have been in full-on meltdown mode. Full-on meltdown mode, not Jesus. That's the Lord we serve. That's the Lord we serve. After Jesus' resurrection, Peter emerged as a leader, going boldly everywhere in that part of the world and preaching boldly about Jesus and his resurrection. He performed many miracles, spreading Jesus' message and bringing faith to many. So even though Peter failed, And I don't use Peter example, but I'll use a sports analogy here. I tell my girls on the softball team, you're playing a game of failure. You know, great, great hitters hit 400. What's that mean? It means you fail 6 out of 10 times. Okay? You fail 6 out. Trevor, what's a good shooting percentage for 3-pointers? Huh? 30? 33%, 35%, somewhere around there. So as a basketball player, if you make 3.5 3-pointers out of every 10 that you shoot, you're successful. Guys, our Christianity is no different. We are going to fail, but at the end of the day, we've already won. You know, golf's another game. Frustrating game. I fail a lot, but I have fun playing it. We need to enjoy the ride of our Christianity, even knowing that we're going to fail. Young people, you need to enjoy this time in your life because you may or may not fail. You know, your plans may change. And I've shared from the pulpit before, And I think it's fitting that Les mentioned part of the prayer for you all was to find a profession that you don't feel like you're going to work in. You don't dread going to work. And you know, I've shared before, you know, God had a different plan than what Matt's plan was. And it led me to where I am today. It led me into retail and the grocery business and management, and then it led me into selling Coca-Cola. And I can honestly tell you, I enjoy my job. You know, I see it now as a mission for me to go out and make a difference when I'm out in the stores. And there's days when I don't make, because I just get so task-driven that forget it, I don't see anybody at the store. But there's days when things are going well, and man, I see a lot of people. But understand that there are eyes on you, young people. When there are eyes on you when you're successful, there are eyes, probably more eyes on you when you fail, to see how you respond to failure. And I didn't use track as an analogy because I know nothing about it other than you got to run fast. Okay. By the way, congratulations to some of our seniors. Track, Trev, did you run yesterday or this weekend? Did you qualify for regionals? But Trevor ran track. Abby qualified for regionals and missed going to state. Kate is going to state and just the relay. In the relay, she also ran in regionals in a couple events. I just don't understand track. I'm sorry, I just don't. But good for you all. Now I'm gonna get into some other things. I want to talk one more commercial, if you will. If you want to know more about Peter and you want to understand just what Peter was about, you know, you can read the Gospels. They're good, but you can also go into Acts, first 12 chapters of Acts mainly deals with Peter and the way he progressed and the way he became a true leader in the church up until the point where he was killed. And he did not regret that. You know, he... Pretty cool dude. So if you ever want to know more about Peter, read all the Acts. But I want to focus on one. Well, just read the Acts. I don't want to go into all that because I'll go down a totally different rabbit hole and we'll be here till graduation's over at 4 o'clock. and I don't want to do that. So now I'm going to talk, I'm going to give just some passages that I've found that are not focused on, but they deal with the graduates today. And Julie, you got those pulled up by chance? So Psalms 20, verse 4. May he grant your heart's desire and fulfill all of your plans. Graduates, what I want you to understand is God wants you to be successful. God has a plan for you. Hopefully you are on God's plan path for yourself. I've read through some of the things that the kids have turned in, and I'll read those to you. And it seems, man, they're all locked in and ready to go. I pray that God's plan is perfect for your life. I know his plan is perfect for your life. I pray that your plan and his plan go together. Because if they don't, it's not going to be very successful. You know, I was the square peg in a round hole trying to go into education only because I wanted to coach and be off all summer. That's the only reason. Let's be honest. It wasn't because it was great pay. It wasn't because I loved kids. It's because I wanted to be off 3 months out of the year. There's a reason it didn't work out. I would have been miserable in education. God's plan for my life is perfect. Even though I battled him on it, his plan for your life is to give you the heart's desires. Probably the one verse I want you all to take with you and memorize and put it in your heart, put it in your mind. Jeremiah 29:11, and I use this every year at graduation. It's just a great verse. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. That is direct quote out of the Bible, God's plan for all of us as we move forward. Proverbs 3:5-6. This requires you graduates to do something, and it requires you to trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. That one's hard sometimes. Because what? Because that second set of words. And do not lean on your own understanding. Sometimes I think I'm way too smart. I'm not. When I start thinking I can do things on my own, it's when I run into trouble. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And in everything you do, acknowledge him. That's why I think it's so neat with the college athletics scene right now. And I watched a couple interviews with the Alabama softball girls this week. And it does my heart so much good when I see these kids get up and actually profess their faith on national television in front of an audience, and they've been put to the test already. You know, sometimes the pro athletes do it and it's just a show for me. These kids get up and they actually preach about their faith and preach about what Jesus has done for them. Not just, oh, I want to thank God in heaven for all that he does, you know. It's not lip service with these kids. And I think it's so neat. When we acknowledge him, he will make straight your path. So anybody like to hike? Yeah, everybody does. I'm not a huge fan, but I do it occasionally. Last time I went hiking with my wife, we went to down south, where were we? Hocking Hills. And what was going to be a 3 mile hike turned into a 5.7 mile hike because Matt didn't acknowledge God's path and tried to make his own. And we ended up in a path that was blocked, and we ended up having to turn completely around and walk back out. And I thought I was really close to the entrance, and I wasn't. So we want that straight path for all of you. We want that straight path. Straight paths are easy. There's, you know, when we can stay on the path, it's nice. But the narrow gate is sometimes hard to find. And we have to trust in the Lord to get there. Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So graduates, understand that when you go to Findlay, go to Bowling Green, go to Mount Vernon, go to Marion Tech, go to your job, wherever, God is with you wherever you go. Don't get dismayed about your circumstances. Be strong and courageous, much like Peter was strong and courageous. Philippians 4:13. Another great verse. I'd like you all, you graduates and all everybody, to know this one. Know this one. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. It doesn't say I can do all things through me. It says I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Great verse. Colossians 3:22. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Guys, if you're doing something here, do it with everything you got. But do it for the furtherment of the Lord's kingdom. If you do it for the man here, he's going to disappoint you. He's going to let you down. Do it for Jesus Christ, our Savior. He's got you in his hand all the time. Proverbs 16:3. Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. Guys, if you don't wake up every single morning and thank God for what he's given you and ask him to be a part of your walk, you need to start doing that. Because where God is in your plan will be established. Cannot be changed when God is in your plan. He'll open up doors. Isaiah 26:4. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. And you know, we've talked about rocks a lot today. Peter being the rock. Jesus is the rock. The Lord God is an everlasting rock. Why do you think we do that? Why do you think the rock is such an important part of all this? Because the rock doesn't change over time. The rock doesn't. We could say that the Lord is the clay dirt. Well, eventually that breaks down. Have you ever seen a rock that's been around for thousands of years? It probably looks the same as it did 1,000 years ago. Pretty cool when you think about the rock. I'm going to leave you graduates with this one. It's Colossians 3:23. I already did that one. Let's go back to Jeremiah 29:11 then. This is the one that I just keeps bouncing to me every time we talk about graduation. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. So as you graduates head into your next phase in your life and you parents as you head into the next phase of your life, because life changes for you all as well a little bit. Understand that God has the plan for you. And His plan is not for us to struggle for eternity. His plan is not for us to live here on this earth in this corrupt world we live in for eternity. His plan is for us to live in heaven with Him for eternity. So no matter what you're going through, no matter what life is throwing at you, understand that God has your life in His plan. It's not always going to be easy. It's not always going to be easy. I don't know that there's anyone here that feels like they've had an easy existence so far. Did Jesus have an easy existence? That was God's own Son. He will equip you with everything you need to know to get you through whatever situation you're in. So with that, I do want to take a little bit of time here to just honor each of the graduates. And read a little snippet of what they have written for you today. So I'll start with Dale. He's not here, but still want to make sure we recognize him. His extracurriculars were football for his 4 years of high school. He graduated from North Central State College from the College Now program with an Associate's of Business degree. His plans are to attend Miami University to major in construction management. Dale, I got to know Dale just a little bit on a Cedar Point trip. Dale's a hoot, quite honestly. I've seen Dale show sheep, and he doesn't love showing sheep, but he does it. He's a lot of fun. Dale has been through it, though, already. God's plan is sometimes we don't understand it. But the fact that he's going into construction management, he's going to do something he loves to do, I'm all about it. I love it. Okay? So Dale Morris. Trevor. Come on up, Trevor. Yeah, you can come up here. Absolutely. So Trevor Black. And I've used Trevor in several messages, and he usually corrects me. But Trevor is a congratulations. Trevor is played golf and track and basketball and cross country. Trevor was the District 11 Player of the Year this year in basketball. He was first team all KMAC, first team all district. He was first team all KMAC, second team in golf. His plans are to attend MTC and become a radiology technician. Again, these kids are way smarter than I am. Trevor is smart enough to go into a field, much like Dale is smart enough to go into a field that's always going to be there. Trevor is going into a field that's always going to be there. I'll share one more thing. Here's why I like Trevor a lot. Trevor at school would get dress coded for his shorts at times. Not once? Man. But I love going to the school and seeing Trevor working out and at the gym, and he's got his colorful shorts on. It cracks me up every time I see him. Great young man. He's going to do well, and eventually he'll be skiing in my old decrepit body in the radiology department. Congratulations, Trevor. You can stay up here if you want, or you can go down. I don't care. Ryan. I like to make him a little nervous. I should have the mic queued up. I know Ryan will probably want to give a speech. You want to practice for later? No. Ryan Brinkman. Ma'am? Ryan's extracurriculars were track, basketball, cross-country, FFA, National Honor Society. Her plans are to attend The Ohio University and major in engineering. There's a common theme here. These kids are all smarter than I am, which doesn't take much. I've got to know Ryan a little bit. Ryan has been coming to Sunday school Sunday mornings for, I don't know, it's been almost 2 years now, I think. And Ryan is really, really quiet. But when Ryan has something to say, I guarantee you it's right, because she's thought it out. She knows what she wants to say, and she says it. You were graduating valedictorian today. She is graduating valedictorian today and will be giving a speech. That'll be interesting. How long is it? A minute. That's about what I figured. But the growth I've seen in Ryan over the last 3-4 years is incredible. And again, I've seen her at the county fair showing sheep with Grandpa and Mom and everybody for years. And again, she really is a competitor. Ryan was all conference in basketball as well, and track probably, right? Yeah. Again, you can't say enough good about the young people, because they are so good at what they do. So congratulations, Ryan. Owen Cass. Come on up here, Big O. I like Owen. Owen and I have a long-standing relationship, usually me working at the concession stand and Owen bringing endless amounts of money to the concession stand. But the one thing I tell you about Owen is he always has a smile on his face, and I love it. Okay, Owen's extracurriculars were the FFA, and he enjoyed all of the extra events that the FFA allowed him the opportunity to take part in, especially the snow tubing. Yeah, I get it. Owen received second place for fruit sales again this year. He also has been a member of the Friendly Farmers 4-H Club for 9 years, where he has enjoyed showing market lambs and breeding sheep. He did. He has learned so much and helps with everything sheep-related at Pappy's Farm. His plans, which have already started, are to work outside for the Ohio Department of Natural Resources at the Mount Gilead State Park, maintaining the trails, mowing, and miscellaneous maintenance work. So Owen is already figuring out it's no longer mom and dad's money going to the concession stand, is it, my man? It's going to be yours. Great job, Owen. Congratulations again. Thank you. That's Owen Cass. Kate Lehman. Kate's extracurriculars are cross-country, indoor and outdoor track, Academic Challenge, National Honor Society. Her plans are to attend Ohio Northern University to study pharmacy. Again, all of these guys are smarter than we are. Congratulations, Kate. Kate also, right, is being recognized today and will give a speech at graduation as a valedictorian. I think there were 4 or 5 valedictorians. 2 of them are here. Trevor was real close, I heard, right? You were 3.986. Yeah. Great kids. I got to know Kate a little bit more. She's been running a youth, helping with some other girls, there's 4, run a youth program or a Bible study. And they are doing God's work even when it's uncomfortable. And if you are a young person and you don't want to know more about that, get with Kate, get with Delaney. They're going to meet actually Tuesday night this week here at the church. I think there's going to be ice cream involved and maybe some outdoor recreation as well. So, all right, Abby Leonard, last but not least. Abby Leonard, extracurriculars were 4-H, FFA president, National Honor Society, blood drive rep, volleyball, track and field, student council. Her plans are to attend the Mount Vernon Nazarene University to major in graphic design and continue with her athletic career as a member of the track and field team. Abby has had a wonderful career at Mount Gilead, whether it be in FFA, whether it be in track. She puts a lot of time into her craft. She, I think you're a school record holder, correct? She is a school record holder in both, or just shot put. She also throws the discus, throws the weight throw. I don't know that. You threw the hammer at one point, right? So Abby's had a marvelous high school career. Abby will continue to do that at Mount Vernon Nazarene and graphic design. What does that lead to as far as a job? Social media for sports and other things. Again, getting into something that's going to be around forever. So congratulations, Abby. It's been an honor to watch you grow from this tall. And the church gave them a card and a gift inside, and then there's a graduation devotional Bible pack for each one. But what I want you graduates to take from this is understand, I want you to look out at this crowd, and I want you to understand that there are people here that absolutely consider you family. And they absolutely will pray for you daily, and that God's hand is on your path, and God will take you where he wants you to go. With that being said, I would like the five of you to come right down here in front, please, on the ground there, Mr. Owen. And church, I'd like to surround them and just pray with them as a church family and let them know that we are super duper proud, but we're also super excited for where their future is going. So if you just come on up with us, and then after we pray, we'll sing a song of invitation and we can congratulate everybody later on. Parents, you can get in here with your young people, please. That'd be great. Dear Lord, we just come before you as a church and a church family, and Lord, we lift up these six young people as they are heading into their new stage in life, and Lord, we just ask that you continue to push and develop and guide their lives no matter what that looks like. You know the plan. They know the plan. Just make that path easy for them, Lord. Continue to develop them as young Christians and young people, and they can go out and make a difference for you and further your kingdom, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. So we're going to sing a song of invitation here, and if you want to know more about that path that these young people are heading on, or that path that leads you to knowing where you're going to spend eternity, today's the day. Today's the day. If you need prayer for anything, we'll be here as well. We love to pray for our church family.